Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Aren't you glad we have a God who's a healer? That's the business he's in. You know, when Jesus came, and at 12 years of age, he was found in the temple, listening to and asking questions, listening to the teachers of the law and asking them questions. The Bible says his parents came in there, and his mother said to him, "Son, what have you done to us? I mean, we've looked all over for you." They were worried, sick over him, you know. Jesus said, "Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" About my Father's business. Well, that's what Jesus was all about when he walked the earth. He was about doing his Father's business. Well, what are some of the things he did? Well, Acts 10:38 says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. How many people know Jesus did a lot of healing while he was here on the earth? He healed a whole lot of folks. Well, he called that his Father's business. He was just doing his Father's business. Well, who's his Father? God. God was his Father. So he was doing God's business, which was what? Healing. Healing. One of the things he was doing was healing and doing a lot of it. So the Father's business is a healing business. God is in the healing business. That's the business that he's in. He's in the healing business. And he's still open for business. He never closed shop. I love these religious folks that run around saying, "God doesn't do that anymore." It's amazing. You know, they think God closed his shop up. Shut down his business. Maybe he went bankrupt. Maybe he couldn't pay the rent. How many people know that's ridiculous? No, that's his. If that was his business back in the days of Jesus, then that's still his business today. And in fact, we can go way back even before the coming of Jesus, all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, the very beginning, back to Genesis, the book of beginnings. And we see all the way back there that God was in the healing business. He was in the healing because he was healing all kinds of folks even back then. So he healed people before Jesus. He healed people during Jesus' time here on the earth. Well, guess what, friend? He's still healing people today. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad we don't have to just rely upon the natural for healing. We don't have to just rely on the natural process of healing. We can believe God for his power to speed up the healing process that he has placed in every human being. We can believe God for a supernatural recovery and restoration of our bodies. We don't have to just settle for the natural. And when medical science says, "Sorry, there's nothing more we can do for you," how many people know God isn't saying the same thing? You're never going to hear God say, "Sorry. There's nothing we can do for you. Me, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's nothing we can do for you." God will never say that. Aren't you glad you'll never hear God say, "Sorry, there's nothing we can do for you"? So if there's nothing man can do for you, thank God there's still God. Amen. He's in the healing business, friend. And not only are you and I to be receiving and walking in divine health for ourselves, but we are to be following the footsteps of Jesus, which is to what? Be about our Father's business. He still needs employees to work his business here on the earth today. He's always worked through people, and he always will. That's how God does things. And so he needs employees. He needs faithful employees. He needs good employees. He needs people that really know his business, really know about divine healing, know how to receive it, from God, know how to help other people to receive, know how to minister it to others. And so he's training us in exactly that. As we've been coming together for these meetings, and now we're in a series entitled Healing from the Beginning. Healing from the Beginning. And last week we looked at the healing of Abimelech. Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants. They had all been afflicted and were unable to bear children, but God healed all of them. And there was a way by which they received healing. We see it over here in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 20. We are back in the days of Abraham right now. And we saw that there was this king by the name of Abimelech. The king of Gerar. And Abraham had brought his wife into that city. And Abraham had said to his wife, he said, now you're a beautiful woman. And so, you know, when we enter into this city, you need to tell them that you're my sister and not my wife. Because if they know that you're my wife, then they'll kill me so that they can have you. So you just tell them you're my sister and this way it'll go well with me. They won't kill me. And so they went in there and sure enough, you know, the king noticed Sarah, Abraham's wife, and saw that she was a beautiful woman, and so he took her into his harem. And after a while, the king, his wife, and his maidservants, they all were afflicted. And we had seen last time that Abimelech was a man who feared God, and he was a man of integrity. Well, if he's a man who feared God, and he's a man of integrity, then he's obviously a man of faith. And I really believe that because he was a man that feared God, a man of faith, I believe, even though it's not written here, that he was probably praying. And that's why God spoke to him in this dream. That God came to him and gave this answer to something he was asking about. You know, we read over in the New Testament, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And concerning so many things in life, we have to ask if we want to receive answers from God. We have to ask him. He says, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, it'll be open to you. So I believe that Abimelech was seeking, that he was asking. And then God answered him in a dream and showed him what the problem was and why they were afflicted. And notice here in chapter 20 and verse 3, it says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now, when you read it kind of like that, with those voice inflections, you can kind of hear it a little bit differently. Perhaps you can hear God responding to something he was saying. Notice again, indeed. Sounds like God's following up on something that Abimelech has talked to him about. Lord, why has this happened? You know, am I going to die? What's going on? Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. So God's responding to him, I believe, because Abimelech is praying to God. He's seeking God. And that's a good place to go if you got a problem. Run to God. Now that may sound real simple, but you know, for most folks, that's just not the case. Now don't get me wrong. There's a lot of folks that'll cry to God, like whine to him when they get into a crisis. God, why? God, help me. God. But they're not really seeking him with their whole heart. In other words, they're not putting their heart into their praying. It's very light. It's very superficial. They're not really expecting an answer from God because they're really not in faith. And so many times folks do not get their answer because they're just crying out in the flesh, we could say. You've got to seek him. Jeremiah said, God said through the prophet Jeremiah that when you search for God with your whole heart, you will find him. Your whole heart. You come to him in faith. Again, prayer is not to just be a one-sided conversation. It's to be a dialogue. It's you talking with God, God answering, God talking to you. You need to go into prayer, and when you ask God something, you need to believe you receive the answer. Just know that God speaks to you. There's been plenty of times I've just gone to the Lord in prayer and asked him about something. Lord, what about this? What about that? And I didn't hear anything audibly or anything right away. And then I just went, yep, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just believe I received the answer. And then, you know, maybe the next day, maybe in a dream, maybe you run into somebody, somebody says something or whatever happens. And next thing you know, God gets that answer to you. But if you're going to ask him something, ask in faith and expect that you're going to receive revelation. You're going to receive answers. Because to everyone who asks, receives. To him who knocks, it is open to him. So don't just settle for saying stuff and then walking away and say, well, I just don't know. No, if you ask, then bless God, you will receive. And sometimes some answers have to come after you get other answers. You know, you want this answer, but first you got to have these puzzle pieces in place first for you to even be able to comprehend this answer, to get the hold of this answer. Does that make sense to you? So sometimes it's a series of things that we need to get a hold of or need to happen to get things in line enough so that we're in a position where we can actually comprehend and understand the thing that we're actually asking God about. So we need to be patient, but we do need to ask in faith and believe we receive. So God says, indeed, you are a dead man. Notice verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. So sometimes there's something we have to do first. Not always, but sometimes there's something we have to do. There might need to be some repentance. There might need to be some actually going to somebody and repenting or restoring something to somebody. Maybe there's some things we need to change in our life that is getting in the way of us being able to walk in divine health. Maybe there's some things where we're leaving open for the devil to be able to come in and mess with us. And I believe that's what was happening here. I don't believe God is afflicting Amalek. I believe a door was opened. It was ignorant to Amalek. He was ignorant of it, but nevertheless, the door was open. He had opened up a door, and it's the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not God. So God was just enlightening him and giving him understanding that, man, you're in a bad place right now, man. You are a dead man. You are going down the wrong path. You are headed towards destruction, and you need to make some changes. And so God says to him, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Verse 17. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed. What did he do? God healed. I thought healing went out with the first apostle. Well, here it happened before there was an apostle. Right? He's always been in the healing business. Look, God, the man got it right, and what did God do? Healed. If he'll heal a man with a name like Abimelech, won't he heal Johnny? Won't he heal Charlie? Come on, somebody. He healed Abimelech. This man didn't even have a covenant with God. He wasn't even the righteousness of God. Didn't even have Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Jesus had not even come yet. And yet, the man received revelation from God. He received correction. And he made the appropriate changes in his life. And what was the result? God healed him. Because that's just what God does. That's the business that he's in. God healed, number one, Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. So it wasn't just Abimelech. His wife got healed when he got things right. When he got things right, his servant girls got healed. Interesting. But notice also that when he had things wrong, not only was he afflicted, but his household was afflicted. Other people around him were afflicted. And that's something we have to watch out for. We have to understand that how we live our life affects more than just ourselves. Other people could be afflicted because of you, because of the way you live, because of the way you talk, because of the way you're acting, because of your disobedience. You could cause other people to be afflicted. But on the positive side of that, your obedience, you're living by faith, you're walking in obedience to God, can bring healing to other people, could cause other people to get out of messes. Just because you're living right, other people are experiencing things going right in their life. Isn't that what that teaches us? We see that right there, don't we? He got things right, he prayed, and they were all healed. He had things wrong, and all these people were being afflicted. It was affecting more than just him. Then they bore children. Notice that. Then they bore children. So, however, his wife and female servants were afflicted, it caused them to become barren. They weren't able to have any children. For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now again, you can look and say, well, look, it says the Lord did it. The Lord did it. Well, again, under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, it doesn't mention the devil very much. God doesn't talk much about the devil. You come over to the New Covenant, man, Jesus is casting out demons. Jesus is exposing the works of the devil. You go through the book of Acts, you go through the epistles. God's letting you know the authority that we have over the devil. Give no place to the devil, right? But under the Old Covenant, most everything is the Lord did it. The Lord did it. And there's no mention of the devil. Well, why is that? Well, one of the reasons I believe that is because under the Old Covenant, the people had no authority over the devil. They didn't have the name of Jesus. It's through the name of Jesus that we rule over demonic powers. It's through the name of Jesus that we cast out devils. So they had no authority to do anything about the devil. So what they just needed to do is just be obedient to God. Just obey God. Because knowing about the devil wasn't going to do much for him. So God would just tell him, you need to obey me. So you say, well, is it lying then? I mean, by saying the Lord did it when the Lord really didn't do it? Well, you can read it this way. The Lord's justice. The Lord's justice. Because it's through the Lord's justice system that the devil will work to get place in people's lives. He knows that God is a righteous God. He's a just God. And when we get out from under God's righteousness and we're walking in disobedience, then the devil has legal right to bring things against people. They're stepping over into his territory, or they're walking in the devil's jurisdiction. The devil rules over darkness. He rules over darkness. And so anybody that wants to come over here in darkness and get out from the light by getting into sin, getting in disobedience with God, they come under the devil's jurisdiction. So the devil has legal right to do things, and that legal system is the Lord's legal system. It's his system of righteousness. It's his justice system. So you could say it's the Lord's justice that closed up their wombs. It was the devil working through the Lord's justice that caused these people to be afflicted. But the devil was the one doing it. God takes no pleasure in it. God doesn't want to see anybody afflicted. But the devil does. He does take pleasure in it. He wants to afflict people. He's looking for an opportunity to steal, to kill, and destroy. The Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's just looking for an opportunity. Thank God for you and I. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Our faith is in him. So that even if we have missed it, We can repent, turn back to God, and immediately receive forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness. And the devil immediately has no place in our life. Now, we can give him place. The New Testament tells us we can give him place by getting over in darkness, walking in disobedience, getting away from our covenant, getting away, getting out of fellowship with God. But thank God if we'll just acknowledge Jesus. Thank him for his blood. Confess our sins. Man, we're forgiven. We're cleansed. And Jesus said, which is easy to say, your sins are forgiven you, arise, take up your bed and walk. Be healed. Which is easier to say? We know that the same Jesus that took our sins, took our sicknesses, diseases, infirmities, our pains, he took it all. Hallelujah. So man, we got a better covenant than even the Abrahamic covenant or the Mosaic covenant. We got a better covenant through Jesus Christ. So we just turn to him and the devil has nobody. Just rebuke the devil. Say, devil, get behind me. Get behind me in the name of Jesus. Get behind me in the name of Jesus. Jesus took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. I will not bear what Jesus bore for me. He did not take my pain in vain. Now you got to stand up to him. We've been given authority. We've been authorized to do it. So we're expected to do it. You got to take your stand against the devil. Take your legal stand against him. Take out the law book. Throw the book at him. Give the devil the word. Hallelujah. And he has got to let you go. He's got to flee. Can you say amen? So again, verse 17. So Abraham prayed to God. God healed Abimelech, his wife, his female servants. Then they bore children for the Lord, or the Lord's justice, had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Now notice this healing here. It was a healing from barrenness. A healing from barrenness. And that's interesting how it came too, this healing from barrenness. It came through Abraham, his prayer, through his faith. I found that interesting, seeing that Abraham's own wife has been barren her whole life. And now she's past the age of where a woman can bear children. From a natural standpoint, she's never been able to have children. She's been barren, and yet God uses Abraham to pray and release faith for these women to be able to bear children. Isn't that interesting? Why would God use somebody whose own wife is barren to pray and use his faith to cause other women to be able to bear children? Well, it shows God had been building Abraham's faith for many, many years to receive a child from God. And now his faith was at a point where it was peaking. And he can believe for women to be able to bear children. That's where his faith was. Because his faith had been growing over the years where God has been promising him a child. And he's been walking with God and claiming it and declaring it and believing it for all these years. And so now it's an easy thing for him to pray and believe God for these women to be able to bear children. And you know, it's easier sometimes to pray for others to receive things. Other people that you're not so connected to and emotionally involved with. Many times it's easier to pray for them and believe for them to receive things and to receive breakthroughs in their life than it is many times for your own self or people you really care about who are going through a trial. Because sometimes, like we talked about in another message, our souls can get in the way of our faith. Our souls can get in the way of believing God. Our souls can be too involved in the situation. So, practicing on other people is a great place to build your faith up for yourself and your own household. Ministering and praying for others, believing for others. outside your family will strengthen your faith to be able to be a greater blessing by faith to your family. Notice over here in 1 Timothy, hold your place in Genesis. 1 Timothy, how many want to grow in their faith? How many want bold faith? Rip the bars off the city faith. Or rip the gates off of hell kind of faith. Bold faith. Notice this here. Genesis, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. He says, for those who have served well as deacons. Now, what's a deacon? Well, if you look up the word deacons, it means a servant, a waiter, one who runs errands, one who executes the commands of another. Well, that's a helps minister. We'd call that a helps minister. So he says, he who serves well as a helps minister, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So when you serve well, when you serve in the ministry and you're serving to help people, taking care of the needs of others, you are causing your faith to become bold. Serve well as a servant, as someone who is willing to run errands, help out in the ministry, minister to people, pray for people. That will cause you to have bold faith. So Abraham, his faith has been growing. Now he releases his faith for Abimelech's wife and maidservants. And the Bible says they were all healed. Now while this all happens, you remember Sarah, she was around Abimelech's wife and maidservants for a while. And so, you know, Sarah sees all this happen. Here's Sarah, she still doesn't have any children. She's still been barren. And then she looks and she sees that Abraham, her husband, prayed. And this miracle took place. Well, that sets the stage for the second case of healing in the Word of God. The second healing in the Word of God is the healing of Sarah. Over here in Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 21 verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah. So that's the next thing that happens. Right after Abimelech, his wife, and servant girls are healed of barrenness. Goes right into this. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. So all of a sudden now Sarah is able to receive healing for herself. And she had to have her own faith, because Abraham could not get this thing done by himself. Sometimes we need the faith of other people to come alongside with our faith to receive certain things from God. You know, a lot of times folks, they try to name and claim things for others without those other people being in full agreement with them, without those other people being in faith with them. I've heard people, you know, people have come to me and said, oh, you know, my aunt who lives out in California. I don't know if that connects with anybody here. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. My aunt out in California, no, she's dying. The doctors have given up on her. But I told her, in the name of Jesus, we're praying, and she's going to live and not die. You know, that's not really always the smartest thing to say to somebody. And then they'll run around and tell the whole family. No, 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 we're praying. We are praying. The whole church prayed. And we're believing that she is not going to die. Mm-mm. No, no way. We believe, because we believe. I believe. She's not going to die. Well, in most cases, the other person's spiritual condition has something to do with them being healed. And when we're dealing with other people, it doesn't all rest on you and I. Unless the person is under your authority, like in the case of Abimelech, it was his wife. It was his servant girls. They were under his authority. So his life directly affected them. But just anybody, just any relative, just any family member, just any friend, acquaintance, somebody else's acquaintance, no. Their faith, their spiritual condition has something to do with it. And the best way to pray for other people that are going through stuff is, number one, to ask God, open their eyes. Help them to see the truth. Father, send laborers into their path that'll minister your healing word to them and help build them up in their faith. If you yourself can't get to them and minister to them the word of God, then believe God for others to do it. If you can do it, then you do it. And you need to be looking and watching for faith. Not just going in there, speaking the word of God, say, well, I spoke the word of God, bless God, here we go. You got to consider, are they receiving what you're saying? How well are they receiving what you're saying? You've got to be able to recognize if there's any faith registering in them. You've got to be able to see it. And you should be able to see it. If somebody's getting it, you'll see it in their eyes. You'll hear it come out of their mouth. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. And then you can hook up when seeing that they have faith. Now you can get in agreement with them. And believe God with them for a recovery. And then, of course, you got to help keep them in faith until they see the full recovery. Because sometimes folks will start out great and then you'll leave. And then they'll go and they'll start reviewing the doctor's report and watch CNN News. And they'll do everything but get in the Bible and fellowship with God. And they'll just sink right back into the flesh and be carnal. And they'll just lose their faith. Lose sight of what God promised them. And you're over here just shouting and praising God. Praise the Lord. Filling yourself up with the word. Keeping yourself full of faith. And meanwhile, their faith is fading. And you're over here still standing in faith for them. And their faith went out the window. They're not in faith any longer. Though, therefore, they're not in agreement with you anymore. And the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said, if any two of you agree on earth concerning anything that you ask, it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. So there are some things that we will not receive unless others are in agreement with us. So Abraham, he needed Sarah to be in agreement with him for Sarah to be able to receive strength to conceive a child. She had to have her own faith. And thank God she did. She's actually in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Hold your place in Genesis. Go to Hebrews the 11th chapter. And in verse 11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself, glory to God, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Notice that. Sarah herself believed God and received strength to conceive seed, to bear a child. And how did she get it? Bible says here, she judged him faithful who had promised. Another translation says, she considered him faithful who had promised. She considered him. She considered him. She considered God's track record as she watched God time and time again, year after year, come through Abraham's faith. As she watched the faith of Abraham bring God's promises to pass. God said, move out, leave your family, go out, leave everything. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to bless you. Nations are going to fear you. And she's probably thinking, we're leaving everybody. This guy's crazy. He's hearing voices in the night. We're going to go across this desert. And she's probably nervous. She's probably, afraid. And she's probably whining a lot. And there's some indications that she was a bit of a whiner. And I don't get into all those details. You go back to Genesis and read some of the accounts. I think she was a bit of a whiner. But eventually, her name was changed. Originally, her name was Sarai. God changed it to Sarah, which means princess with God. She became a Jewish princess. The very first one. But it was time and time again. Abraham would say, God spoke to me. God said this to me. And then she'd see God come through. Cause it to happen. They were blessed. They were increased. They got through trials and after trials and tests after tests. They went through many different situations and God came through time and time and time again. And as Abraham is walking by faith with God, Sarah is watching. And Sarah is learning. Faith works. God is faithful. And finally she gets to the place where she judges him faithful. And that he's brought all these things to pass, he'll do this. He's done all these things, he'll do this too. And you know, that's exactly how we grow by faith. A lot of times we're believing God for the little things. And then God comes through for us. And then he comes through for us again. He comes through for us again. And meanwhile, you know, we got maybe some big visions for some big things because we look in the Word of God and we see some really big promises in there. But we need to establish a track record with God. We need God to show himself faithful in the little things so that now we can stand and believe him for the bigger things. That's a part of how faith grows. It's watching God come through time and time and time again. God is faithful. God is faithful. And if somebody says, man, that hasn't been the way it is for me, man. I mean, everything falls, but I take one step forward and I end up taking two steps backwards. That's been the story of my life. Well, hey, I got news for you. Those steps have not been steps of faith. And you got to come back and examine your life. Because if that is the case in your life, you got to look and say, where have you missed it? What have you done? What's in your tent that doesn't belong to you? What do you need to restore? What do you need to get rid of? Because God is faithful. And if we'll stand in faith, he will come through time and time and time again. A lot of folks don't let God build a track record with them because they'll get into a situation and it's like, you know, we don't have the money. We don't have the money. And they'll run out and get a third job. They don't give God any room to do anything. They're so busy running to try to do everything themselves that they don't give God an opportunity to prove himself. Right? And he wants to prove himself. We see that over in the book of Malachi. He says, man, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Isn't that what he said? Bring all your tithes into the storehouse and prove me, saith the Lord, if I'll not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing, there won't be room enough for you to contain it. He wants to prove himself. He wants to prove himself. But a lot of times, folks won't let him do it. He'll bring their tithes into the storehouse. Some folks won't even do that. Other folks, they'll bring their tithes into the storehouse. And then, you know, instead of standing there believing God, he's faithful. This devourer is rebuked. He's going to come through for us. They'll just run out and do things in the natural and just try to make things work. Rather than just look up. Watch for the window. There's a window opening up. Let the window open up. I got a little alert on my phone today. It's a severe thunderstorm. I looked on the radar. I could see it. There it was. It was about 40 minutes away. I knew it was coming. You could see it. There was no dodging it. And, I didn't particularly have any reason to speak to it or anything. So I was just getting ready for it. Telling folks, get ready. You got Jonathan had his saw outside, so you need to get that thing inside. The rain's coming. Severe thunderstorm. I was getting ready for it. Next thing you know, you see the darkness, you know. Darkness starts approaching. It's getting darker and darker. I knew exactly what was coming. A severe thunderstorm. I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to happen. The windows of heaven were about to open. I went out there. There was a guy working on the carport. I said, you know, is this going to be all right? He said, it should be. We stood out there. It was coming. I saw it moving in. And then all of a sudden, you started feeling the rain. And I headed to the door. Went inside, and the windows opened. And down came the rain. Why? Because somebody in a little booth somewhere pushed a button and said, severe weather coming. And I believed him. Somebody put this thing out there called radar, and it didn't look like a storm. It looks like green and red and yellow blotches. But they said, that's a storm. And I believed it. I didn't doubt it. I didn't say the look and say, I've heard that before. Many a times I've stood outside waiting for the rain and it never came. Many times they called for snow and they canceled school. And it never came. I didn't do that. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. And it came. God said, bring your tithes in. And I'll bless you. So when you get into a situation, you need to go outside and check for drops. You need to be looking up and expecting God to come through for you. Now, a lot of folks got the idea the windows of heaven, when he's going to bless you, is you think God is going to take a big basket of money. That's not the blessing. The blessing is the empowerment to get wealth. It's revelation of God. It's wisdom from him. It's favor from him. It's an anointing from him for you to be able to be increased in life. He gives you the power to get wealth. Isn't that what the Bible says in Deuteronomy? He gives you the power to get wealth. He gives you the resources. He gives you the wisdom. So we're not going out looking for raindrops. We're saying, okay, Lord, what do we do? What did Amalek do? He went to the Lord. He prayed. Lord gave him revelation. That's a blessing. That correction that he received, that's a window of heaven-sized blessing. It saved his life. It saved his wife. It saved his servants. Come on. It changed it. That was a window-sized blessing that came on that man for walking in integrity and seeking God. It got him his answer. Got him out of his situation. Showed him what to do. And that's what we can believe. Okay, Lord, I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm a child of God. I'm a believer. I'm in obedience to you. What do we do here? Show me. Give me direction. How do we get through this crisis? What looks like a crisis. There really are no crises with God. We're never really in a crisis. No, because we have the answer. I said, we have the answer already. We're just looking for it to register on us. We're just seeking God to show us, to reveal it to us, to manifest it to us. Help me to see it, Lord. And he'll do it. Are you with me tonight? He'll come through time and time again. And you'll be able to say, God is faithful. I have proven him faithful. I have judged him faithful. He is faithful and true to his word. What he said is exactly what he will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll come through for you every time. If you won't run and try to save your own life by doing something in the flesh, all by your lonesome. Seek him. Connect with him. Walk with him. And God will answer you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Sarah saw it. And she received strength to conceive seed. In other words, she received healing of barrenness. She received healing of barrenness. And there's a lot more we can say about this. Praise the Lord. But glory to God. She was so blessed. I'm just going to leave you with this one last thought. She became so blessed through her believing that her body was changed. Her youthfulness was restored to her. For her to be able to bear and nurse a child, she had to have been changed physically. She had to physically have been transformed. This is a 90-year-old woman. She is transformed. And we know that she's transformed physically. Not only because she had this child, her body is now working like a young woman for that to happen. But when they went into this city called Gerar, Abraham said, "You're so beautiful, they'll kill me to get you." 90-year-old woman, the king wants her. Think about that. Are you kidding me? The king wants a 90-year-old woman in his harem. She didn't look like any old 90-year-old woman. What happened? She was transformed. She was transformed physically by the power of God. Her youthfulness was completely restored to her, enabling her to have this child and causing the king to want her. That's amazing. My Lord Jesus. If the church ever got a hold of this, Mary Kay would go out of business. Mary Kay would be out of business, man. Is she already out of business? Praise the Lord. No, I've seen her pink Cadillac. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, glory to God, the power of God will transform you and so heal you. It'll bless you and cause your youth to be renewed like the eagles. If you can believe it, you can have it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, you may need to start with a wrinkle and a gray hair before you try to take the whole thing. But bless God, start taking some of your territory now. Can you say amen? Come on, let's stand on our feet and thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.